Hi, this is Jim Cockrum. I'm going to be your host today. I've got my guest, Brett Bartlett. And between the two of us, just to get right to the point, we're going to talk about how to build an incredible team around yourself that helps you do one thing specifically. Now, you can build teams to do all kinds of things in your business, but we're going to talk about one thing specifically today, and that is finding profitable inventory that you can quickly flip on Amazon or eBay or even Craigslist for that matter. Let's not leave out all the options. Basically, finding profitable inventory. Well, you're not the one that's out there doing the shopping and the sourcing. You've got other people who are excited to do that for you. And the reason I'm interviewing Brett is because he's arguably my most successful student slash partner in this arena. He's been doing it for a while now. He's built quite an incredible team himself. And I just wanted to go through and interview him. We've never really had this discussion. We've kind of in passing both commented and observed and admired each other's business models. And we thought, wow, if we kind of mesh the two together, we've both learned quite a bit from each other. And we're at the point now where we both have some pretty incredible teams built that are doing these activities for us. So we're both very system-minded. Now, the only little bit of history I'm going to give you before I jump in and get Brett talking here is just to tell you who he is and why I've brought him onto this call of all the other students and people I work with. Brett is the guy, if you remember, if you go back to the sales page at provensourcing.com where this course is sold, where you probably purchased this audio, there's a story there. We're going to have a little video of how we met. But to give you the summary, Brett was leaving a comment on my blog one day thanking me for helping him build a $1,000 per day business. And someone else called him out and said, oh, there's no way that's actually true. I'll give you $5,000 if that's true, if you can prove it. So Brett set about proving it with screenshots, and that guy quickly vanished, and a new friendship budded as a result between Brett and I, and we've been working for a couple of years together, observing each other's businesses, watching each other's businesses grow, and he's been an integral part of helping the Proven Amazon course become what it is because of all his creative content that he's contributed to it. And I want to bring your attention to one little thing, the provenamazoncourse.com course. Don't forget that if you purchase the provensourcing.com course you bought today, if you go to that thank you page, or if you go to provensourcing.com, you can get a discount on it, okay? So just keep that in mind. If you really get interested in these topics as we're talking about this and you want to start at level one and work into a great Amazon business, that's a good way to go. But okay, so back to Brett. So here he is. You jump forward. He just had a $500 or so that he started with. He's now built an empire selling products on the internet. And more important than introducing you to him and our business and our relationships and all that, I want to get right into how does this stuff apply to you? Because you can certainly go back and research Brett. You can go back and research me. We're not going to spend a lot of time on that. But wow, we've built some incredible businesses. And that's what I want to talk about today. So Brett, great having you, buddy. How are you doing today?
I'm really excited to talk about this. One thing I want to touch on before, we get into the meat of this content, you mentioned the Proven Amazon course, and you kind of, I love the way that you mentioned things casually, Jim, and you don't do like a hard sell or anything like that. But I'm going to do, my testimony on it real quick. I was the guy who worked super hard, did a lot of different things, and specifically revolving around making money online. I mean, I'm telling you, like I'm one of the most hardworking guys you'll meet. None of them ever worked, okay? By sheer grace, I think I Googled something and stumbled upon your Proven Amazon course, spent like the last, bit of money I had for online education on it, just kind of saying, if this doesn't work, I'm out, I'm done. This whole thing doesn't even, it doesn't work. And your Proven Amazon course changed not my life, not even my family's life, but now families' life because of now I build teams and do all this type of stuff. So the fruits that came from your Proven Amazon course are just incredible. And it's really because, oh my gosh, here's the crazy concept. You teach things that work, right? That are possible. And
Exactly.
so,
Yeah.
for anyone who's on the fence on it, I mean, I didn't have $1 million to start with. I literally had $400 total, like to my name to start this business. And now we are in a whole other realm that, I never thought would be possible. So again, the Proven Amazon course has just, put me on an entire different trajectory. So thanks so much for just making that available.
Oh, that's great to hear. And I can't really take a whole lot of credit. I've kind of been the facilitator. I've brought great guys like you and others. At this point, I would say we've had 50 different people contribute their unique ideas and content to the course. So it's just a collection of great ideas. And, for well under $300, you can go get a university level education on what it
Right.
means to be wildly successful on not just Amazon, because this translates over to eBay, to all kinds of other
Right.
opportunities as well. But
Right.
it gets you that one crucial skill. I've been saying this for a few months, and see if this rings true. I've said it to several folks. Once you've got that skill of finding a product that you can then quickly sell for 3, 4, 5, or 10 times more than what you just paid, once you've got that skill of being able to do that an inch deep and a mile wide, you're not committed to one product line, for
Right.
example. You can do it just about anywhere you look. You see dollar bills blowing around in the wind. Once you've
Right.
got that skill, you're unstoppable. You
Right.
simply can't be stopped. The way the world is changing, and I just saw statistics, and we'll get into some specifics here in a minute, but this is going to get you excited, Brett. I don't know if you were aware of this or not, but maybe I'm going to have you take a stab at a number here and see if what number comes to mind. Let's compare all retail shopping in the United States. What percentage of that pie is happening online, would you estimate? Have you heard that? Have you heard that statistic?
Yeah, it's what the basically the trajectory that online shopping is going. Like we haven't, we've we're like we've we're at the tip of the iceberg right now as far as like the
Exactly.
opportunity that's going to be out there.
It is this skyrocketing line that has reached the massive peak of 6%. Right now,
Right.
if you combine eBay, Amazon, every online Walmart, every online Target purchase made last year, it was about 6% of all retail. And that has been on this insane trajectory upward. It's this hockey stick of upward progress, but we're only at 6%. And the number is only going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. So those of us who know how to take that stuff that's floating around out there, sitting on shelves, getting dusty, that people online really do want, and get it in front of them where they can just click a mouse button and have it on their porch. We're the ones that have the best career opportunity in the world. It's one of only three business models I teach, and I'm very excited about it. And you're one of my premier students. So let's talk about how you went from where I see so many of my students right now, and that is, and they have a very good living. Some of them are making $100,000 a month doing what I'm about to describe. I mean, that's what they're putting in the bank, okay? They're putting that in the bank, and they're doing what I'm about to describe. They and maybe their wife get in the car most days, drive around, scan for product, find a lot of profitable product. They know what they're doing. They bring it home, they box it up, they sell it on eBay, or they send it into Amazon, and they make a great living doing it. And that beats any real job you could ever have. But I'm here to tell you, even if you're at that level, you've not yet arrived. Because, Brett, describe to me what. How many boxes you've shipped in the last month? How much shopping you've done in the last month? How many times have you gotten in your car and scanned products and driven around and hit the sales? What's your
Right.
routine like?
Well, the answer to all those questions was zero. And I don't say that in a way like, to give the misconception that, I sit on a beach and never work at all anymore. But
Right,
the
right.
best way for me to describe my business now is I work on my business, not in my business. And that is really, really hard to do. And I can say personally, it is super hard, for a guy like me who had never made any money online, right? To all of a sudden I'm having success. And now I have to hand over my baby or, different parts of it and trust someone else to do what I was doing. And that was a really, really hard concept at first. And I went through a lot of good and bad days in that process. But now, I can tell you, there is no way I would ever, ever, ever go back to being a one-man show, ever. So most of my days consist of I oversee most of my stuff over a Google Docs spreadsheet, and maybe a couple phone calls. That's the majority of my job, and that's what I do on a daily basis.
So you use Google Docs to communicate with your team. And if people aren't aware, Google offers a free service, and I use it as well. The calendar can be synced up with as many people as you'd like. The documents can be shared with whoever you want to show. We like Basecamp ourselves for slightly more complex projects. Basecamp you have to pay for, but you can Google Basecamp and find it pretty easily. It creates to-do lists for different people on your team and such. But basically what you're saying is you communicate with your team using free online tools. and keep track of their activities. Now, I want to hear a little bit about your team. We know that you're not the one going out and shopping, but give us some numbers. How much product are you guys buying? Any numbers you're not comfortable sharing, you don't have to, of course, but paint us a picture here. How many people are involved? What kind of volume are you doing? We're talking eBay, Amazon. I think you said you were doing some Craigslist too, even, right? Last time I heard.
I'll pepper through. And the thing that I want to make really clear, unless you believe in building something bigger than yourself, right? So you have to buy into this. So people will hear everything that I'm doing, and they'll try to figure out how they can do it all. But that's the wrong mentality. It's how can I bring others in on a team basis to get this done? So when I pepper through that, I want everyone listening to think of it from that perspective. I don't want them to start to think, oh, I can do that, and I can do that, and I can do that. Think about who do you know that might be a good fit for that?
Great point. Great point. And we'll hit some of that too. I'll make sure people don't leave this thinking, well, I've got 50 things to go do. No, you've got one thing to start. You need to start building a team. You need to start building a team now.
So here's where we're selling. We have obviously eBay, and just so everyone knows, I totally suck at eBay. I mean, like if you said, Brett, list this on eBay and put in all the details and do that, my eBay business would probably not even break $1,000 a month.
Can I
Well,
let you in
instead
on a
of
secret? Before you proceed, I'm known to a lot of people. Like, I'll meet someone, and they're like, "Oh, hey, you're the eBay dude." I'll be in an airport, like, "Oh, you're that eBay guy." I'm known as that eBay guy to a lot of people. I've called exactly that phrase because I had a great selling book 10 years ago that was primarily about eBay, and it's transitioned now to about so much more. It's been years since I listed anything myself on eBay. Now my business sells stuff on eBay every day. But I couldn't. I mean, I don't even. I had to email my mom the other day to ask her for our eBay ID. I totally. I have no idea what my eBay ID and my password is for my eBay account. I don't even check the. I used to say I check the numbers monthly. I don't even do that anymore. I just know that it's running. It's going. I let someone else handle it, and yeah, it's a huge part of my business. But I'm managing the business. I'm not working in it day to day. But go ahead with your point because I had a confession I had to make as well. I don't hang
And
out on
I
eBay.
think having those transparencies should give everyone listening a boost in confidence, right? Instead of the reverse. Because if you already know what you're doing, like think about how quickly you can build out a team and a system if I don't know what I'm doing and I can do it, right? But we're selling on eBay, we sell on Amazon, we sell on Craigslist. We actually do our own sales, like sidewalk sales now. We have a wholesale business. And these are, I'm just kind of going through like the big mega hitters in our cash flow. I'm not going to go through like every little revenue stream. And then really our big emerging one is we've actually gotten into a mobile clothing business that I absolutely love. And I can tell you, it's women's clothing. So Jim, you can imagine my input on a women's clothing business is not very
Right.
much. So it's
Completely
really just,
irrelevant, right.
it's having the right system and team in place for it to run. And so that's just where some of, oh, and of course, teaching people how to do this stuff and membership communities, everything like that too.
Oh, yeah, all those other income streams. I mean, we're just talking today about one of your many, many income streams. Maybe we'll put that video on the thank you page where you're listening to this report. If you go back to that page, there's a video that Brett made. I think it was made a few months ago when you had nine income streams. I'm sure it's grown since then. You've truly embraced, and let me just give you a big pat on the back because most of my students never embrace the multiple income stream. They think they've arrived, but they never really get to the point where they're just managing multiple streams and they're truly putting good people in place to run each of those businesses for them. And you're doing that. So I'll commend you on that. But I want to keep us focused for sure on how'd you build a team to source your product? Because that's what I want to hit the nail on the head today. But yeah, you've created all kinds of great streams, and I'll throw that video on there for people to enjoy. It talks about all the other streams that you've created outside of this one.
So let's I can focus on one really specific that's a low-hanging fruit that I think everyone in some capacity can do. So one of the coolest things when I started selling on Amazon through the Proven Amazon course was I do live in Southern California, which means the weather year-round is pretty good. And one thing that happens every Saturday, year-round is garage sales. And so when I initially started, it was, I'm going to get up early, I'm going to go to garage sales, okay? And some days were really good, some days weren't good, right? Because I was by myself, it was me, right? So I could only cover so much ground by myself, right? Even if I went the fastest, got up the earliest, did everything, there's a ceiling. You cannot pass that ceiling. So I said, what if we had other people doing the garage sale on the weekend, right? What if there was a team of people who go out and garage sale? And that was really my first shot at saying, what happens when I multiply my knowledge of myself times 2, times 3, times 4, times 5, and then eventually now we're times 10, times 20, you know, just at that one model alone. Because what I did is I saw, hey, this model works. I could pay someone $10 to $15 an hour. Most of our people make $20 plus an hour because we have a commission structure for them. But it was seeing that opportunity and believing that I can build something bigger than myself. So all I did was simply, I literally wrote a quick spreadsheet that they have to clock in their start time, their end time, and how much product they brought back. And that was it. And I was kind of off to the races from that standpoint. So really, I mean, it could be garage sales, it could be thrift stores, anything that has a low cost of goods against it, you can get someone couponing, right? If you can do it, someone else can do it. No one listening to this is a rocket scientist and it can't be figured out. If you can do it, that means you can train someone else to do it.
And I want to hit you. Here's three questions that I guarantee you pretty much everyone listening to this call has one of these few questions floating around their head right now. And rather than me try to remember them as we go through them one at a time, I'm just going to fire them all three at you, and then we'll work our way through them. One of them is, how do you keep these people from competing with you? The other is, how are you incenting them? What kind of profit-sharing structure do you have? And the third is, where did you find these people? And I know there's other questions that people are going to have as well, but I didn't want to go too far before I hit the question, and people are going to feel like I just read their minds. How did I do that?
Right.
Well, I've been talking to a lot of people for a long time about these concepts. Those three questions come up very quickly, one of those three. And there's a few others that come up a lot too. But trust me, there's great answers to every possible question you have right now. And none of the answers are complicated. What you're going to find yourself doing is kicking yourself for not having started doing this sooner. I know of, and I won't name the name, but it's a name most people on this call would recognize, of people who are just gurus in this industry. They still put their own tape on their own boxes and ship the stuff out themselves.
Right.
And every time I talk to them, I'm like, what are you doing? Your time is worth $1,000 per hour, and you're spending time putting tape on boxes. You might as well be cutting your lawn with scissors. You know? I mean, it's the same good use of your time.
Right.
Okay, so let's hit those three questions. First, you know, where did you find, see if I can remember my own questions. Where did you find these people? How do you give them incentive? How do you keep them from competing with you? Let's hit those.
Yeah, so I'll start with the competing one first, because that's the shortest answer. When you build a team, and first, I'd always say it's a team. I'd never say, hey, come work for me, like
that's
under
beautiful.
Me, like I'm the supreme being.
Partners, yeah. Find partners,
right.
Exactly.
Right, because people can smell when you're using them, okay?
Yep.
You can't hide, be very, very transparent. So first off, I treat people better than I would treat myself in this scenario. So meaning, most of the people make a good amount of money and they have no reason to ever leave my team, because they're saying, what's the benefit? When someone could look at the structure that you build and go, what's the benefit of me leaving? And they don't have an answer, that's when you know you've built the right system. Now, if you're just basically riding someone like a workhorse and, you know, riding them into the ground and using them, you're right. They will leave, and they'll leave disheartened and probably want to, you know, go against you on it. But I can tell you, Jim, do you know how many defectors I've had in this build-out process?
You've been doing it, what, about a year and a half? Year and a half now, no one's left.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, zero. Zero, zero leaving. And so the whole concept is, the second they come in, it is very clear that I have their best interests before my own. And so, but you have to be sincere about it. You have to truly care, because really what you're doing is you're blessing another person. In the standpoint, you're helping them get income. You know, a lot of our people didn't have a job. You know, I mean, they were trying to pay their bills, right? So you got to remember, you got to approach this like you are literally, you know, building something special, right?
Well,
and
because you are. Because you
right.
are. I mean, and I won't get political for very long here, but I'll just tell you this. Government has no solutions. Major corporations don't even have solutions. They're laying people off faster than they're hiring them. Who has
right.
the solution for the economic future of our nation, for our kids and our grandkids? Who's building that foundation right now? If our country's to stand strong for the coming next 30, 40, 50 years, it's small entrepreneurs. Companies with 50 or even arguably 20 or fewer employees. We are the ones that will sustain this nation. I mean, the numbers back it up. That's not just me being proud of who I am. The numbers back it up. We're the ones
right.
paying the bills, basically, at this point for the nation. We're the ones making it happen. So to be one of those, it's an honorable position. And you can see a great book. I know I've recommended it to you, Brett, already. But for everyone listening at this point, when you start building out a team, a book that really gets your head on straight, it's by Dave Ramsey. It's called Entree Leadership. It's kind of smashed
right.
together entrepreneur and the word leadership. You smash them together. It talks about not hiring employees, but hiring partners, for example. It gets your mind
right.
set on issues like complaints never go sideways or down. They only go up, and they only go
right.
one level up. You don't skip your manager to complain to his boss. You complain one level up, and you bring a solution when you complain. That you build that into your corporate culture. You know, things like that that will really help you if you've never managed people before. Because it's the story of how he built his business from his garage, two or three people, to a team of about 250, which
right.
I can't imagine myself ever running a company any bigger than that. We're already almost there, but I don't really have employees yet. I have
right.
just partners like you. You know, we work together
right.
a lot. You're not an employee. We're partners. Everyone that
right.
works with me or for me is a partner.
Right.
So
right.
go ahead. I'll let you continue. But I thought that was some valuable information for people who are kind of intimidated by that thought. It's none of this is complicated so far.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. So, you know, as much as I would love to get like a number, because a lot of people say, well, what exactly do you pay them so they don't leave you, right? I'm saying, look, that number is always going to fluctuate depending on the role,
the market,
you know, everything. Yeah, exactly.
The market determines that number. Yeah.
As long as they know your heart, you know, and you truly, truly want something great for them, those people aren't going to turn around and stab you in the back. Those people are going to be with you for life, you know. So that's my very, very easy answer to that question is build something bigger than yourself and have their best interest when you're building it.
That's how you keep them from turning their back, competing on you. Now, do you, and I have no problem, and we may feel a little differently than this. I have no problem with non-compete agreements. None whatsoever.
Oh, we've done both across the board.
Okay, good.
Yeah, we've done non-compete, and we've done contracts, we've done everything. But I will say, I mean, anyone who's been through any type of litigation or anything like that, because I've had family members go through insanely bad litigation, the key component is always how that person views or perceives you, you know,
right.
And
right.
your business and how you care about them.
A contract can't protect you from a relationship gone bad.
Right.
And a good relationship doesn't require a contract. But the great
right.
thing about a good relationship is kind of like good neighbors, good fences help, you know, determine good neighbors. Like you and
right.
I, if we was like, hey, you know what, let's sign a contract just to put in writing, you know, what we've all agreed on here, that's not going to be a problem with the right people, but you'll probably
right.
never need it with the right people either.
Right.
So a contract is a beautiful thing. And I think even if it's just simply written up in plain language that you can both understand, I'm about to teach you some stuff that you are not aware of. I don't want you to turn around and start using this information to compete with me, specifically in the realm of selling physical products on the internet.
Right. Right.
If you want to work for us, I need you to sign this. And that'll be in the back of their head. Would it hold up in court if they brought in their team of lawyers and you brought in your team and you guys pounded? I don't know. Who cares? If you've got someone that resists that part of the process, you know, maybe it's not a good fit for that person.
Right.
So,
right.
you know.
Well, yeah. And an NDA or any type of contract or information that's coming in on the front side. Remember, you don't want to do it on the back side. You want to do it on the front side before you even bring those people in and kind of give them the whole.
Oh, yeah. Before you hire them. Yeah, before you show
yeah.
them. Yep, before you educate them. Exactly.
What it does is it sets an expectation that maybe they weren't even aware of, right? So imagine you don't go over that stuff. They don't necessarily know that that was like a bad thing to do, right? You'd be surprised at what people don't know. And so if you're thinking about bringing in a team member, we use NDAs, we use operational agreement. I mean, we've used everything, but it's more from an educational side. Like, here's our expectations and terms. And then that way we know we did our work. Because if that person does something and then on the back end you're going, well, you weren't supposed to do that, they're going to go, I didn't know that, right? And then that's on you.
Right. So, it's on you for not having a good system in place to educate them as they come in. Yeah, exactly. Okay, so that answers the competition question. Let me remind you of the two. Where are you finding these incredible people? How do you find the right people? And how do you make them feel like partners from a pay perspective? Like, let's go over the numbers, just a little bit of the numbers, wherever you can share. I know they've got a flat hourly fee.
Right.
They get a percent of profit. How's that work?
Yeah. I'll start with the where do I find them, because that will actually marry really well with why I pay them what I do. I found success in building out a team with trust being the 98% of why someone's coming in. Because that, when you're a small business and a lot of these things, when you're sourcing, you're dealing with cash, you know, you got to be able to trust the person with everything, meaning like you just got to be able to trust them. So with me, what I like to do is I like to build out from my inner network. So that would be family, church friends, networks that have been, you know, part of my life for a long time, and go to them first off saying, is there anyone in my inner network who can use, you know, an extra X amount of dollars per week, right? Or per month or whatever. And then from that inner network, if a couple of people raise their hand, then I've met my goal of bringing someone that I completely trust. Now, whether they're capable or not, that's a different story, but at least now I have a starting point of someone I trust. Right. I bring them in. I hear that, it's funny because I hear this all the time. People go, I don't have a network. Right. And so it's not like I'm fishing from a network of 1,000 people. I'm fishing from a network of 10. Okay. So I'm pretty sure most people have 3, 5, 10 people in their inner network. If no one there raises their hand, basically, then I go on to a referral basis, meaning, is there anyone you know who you completely trust, who you would vouch for, who you would put your name to, who you think would be interested in you know, this startup and then this, you know, amount of money, whatever. And then typically at that point, I've had like a zero strikeout rate, meaning someone will refer someone. And that's where I started. Now, some of those things have worked out. Some of them haven't. But that's a great way. I don't post a job on Craigslist, you know. That's like, I don't know how that's going to turn out. A lot of people are great at interviewing, terrible when it comes to their day-to-day work. So I like to operate from referrals. That's literally how we've gotten everybody on our team. We have over 20 people working in the office on a daily basis.
Yeah, we hadn't heard that number yet. You're up to over 20 now. That's incredible. And you've got your own office space. And that's just beautiful. And so that tells us where you're finding them, how you're finding them. And I completely agree. Everyone who's working for me locally, it's people I knew, liked, and trusted, or someone that person knew, liked, and trusted very much.
Right.
And let me just give people a little teaser. I'm going to be asking Brett here in a few minutes, what are these people doing? Like, give us a little, you know, we mentioned yard sales. We mentioned some, you know, what are they, when they go out, like, what are the marching orders and what exactly are they told? And what keeps them from just kind of like, you know, going to lunch and taking their time and coming home and collecting it? Like, how do you monitor this? So we're going to get into some of those topics here in a minute. But let's hit first, you know, how are you paying these guys profit share? How are you tracking that? Because some people are confounded by that. And I got to tell you, with what I've got going on, with, you know, some shopping going on for my accounts, I'm not sure. It's like, you know, when it's profitable, we'll share it. You know, how detailed are you in the tracking of the numbers? And then, you know, do they really feel like, because here's every time I've ever had a job where I had some kind of profit sharing plan or, you know, whatever, I always felt a little out of control of the results.
Right.
Like, you know, some months you get a bonus and I didn't feel like I did a whole lot. And other months you work your butt off and you get nothing because the rest of the team didn't perform that month or whatever, you know. So how is that, I know this could probably be an hour discussion of itself, but, you know, break it down for us. And there's no wrong way to do this as long as people feel rewarded for their efforts at the end of the day. But how are you guys handling that?
Right. And that's a good point to bring up before you start this conversation. Remember, that's why I answered those other two questions first. So we built it off
exactly.
We build something bigger than ourselves, and we have the other person's best interest up front. on top of, we have a huge trust factor going into it. We learned a couple things the hard way, so I can go through an entire, which and sum it up pretty quickly, of how we pay people, what we pay them for, and then where we move them in our organization as a gradual, almost graduation, so they can make more money or have more opportunity. So here's how we started. And Jim, this is from you, not something I made up. You said something that resonated with me when I think it was in the Proven Amazon course. You said, if you can't pay someone $15 an hour to do what you're doing, you don't have a real business. Is that about correct? Is that what you've said before?
That sounds like me. It sounds smart.
Right.
Yeah, I do remember saying that, because what will happen is, right, a lot of people say, oh, I can't possibly outsource because then my business wouldn't be profitable. And I'll,
right,
turn
then
out
you don't have a business.
You don't have a profitable business yet.
Right. Right. There's a problem. You just have a job at that point then.
You have a job,
but,
yes.
But so working from that standpoint, Jim, I took that home and said, okay, in order for me to pay someone to, which was the first thing I wanted to replace was the worst part of the job, boxing, processing, taping, inputting, like the total data, you know, like I can do it like while I'm half asleep type of thing. That was like, I'm like, this is just not going to work out for me. And I'm talking when, not when I had an office and a warehouse and everything like that. I'm talking when we were working out of like a living room still, because,
right,
I knew,
right,
I'm like,
you're,
this is not a better life. I'd rather have my other job. You know,
this is back
because,
before the $1,000 a day kind of thing, even.
Right.
That, right. This is,
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
A couple hundred,
yeah,
bucks,
exactly,
a day, maybe, level in total sales on just Amazon.
Right, right. And I want everyone to understand, you can sub in. We started the conversation by saying what platforms I was selling on. It does not matter where you're selling. This system works regardless, meaning if you can bring someone in to do that kind of just grunt work and pay them $10 to $15 an hour to do it, you're going to have some happy campers, and you're going to be super happy on top of it. So we started off by bringing people in on the processing side, and what that did, that's the boxing, taping, inputting, everything like that. Well, we brought in about three people, and two of them ended up making the cut. So when we bring them in, this is really, really specific, we bring them in on 30 to 60 day terms when we're going to review their work, and how they did, and, you know, every milestone that we have. And then at that point, we're going to assess whether, you know, we're going to extend them hanging out. So what that does on the front side, it protects you against someone just who could be the nicest person in the world, but they totally suck at packing boxes and processing. And that happens.
You know what Zappos does? Have you ever heard what they do to after 30? I think it's 60 days. After you've gone through their full training program, you've done a little bit of work, and they've kind of evaluated you. Have you heard what they do to every employee? I'm pretty sure it's Zappos.
They offer them money. Yeah.
They offer them money to quit. Here's a $5,000 check with your name on it. We can either tear it in half and you stay, or you walk away with the money today.
Right, right.
And you can see all the beautiful things. So, you know, that might be something. As your organization grows, you're going to see the personality is going to change, and you're not going to know everyone as well as you intimately do right now. At around, you know, 50 people or so, it gets very different. Then at 250, it's impossible. There's actually that's a very special number in human relations, is 250 people. You can't possibly know who's connected to who and who brought in who and who's friends with who and who doesn't know who yet. You lose track mentally. And so your entire organization, I don't know if you'll ever get to that level, but there's different stages. I thought that was interesting, is, you know, as you start hiring people in off of, you know, applicants that come in and no one knows this guy, and we're going through resumes and that sort of thing. I think I would probably find myself doing that as well. I don't know if I'd be as brave as with the biggest numbers that they're using, but at the point your organization's that size, I can see where it makes a lot of sense, because they say you know, just getting someone trained, you're investing tens of thousands of dollars in them in those first few months, you know?
Yeah.
So to get them to walk away, if they are someone that doesn't really, you know, in their mind, their heart isn't really in it, that's a small price to pay.
Right. And the processing, I mean, the processing side, like the tape, everything like that, is the easiest to put into procedures and systemize. So it's actually a good way, or was a really good way for me to learn on like an easy level how to remove myself, right? Because I'd get so angry a couple of times when they do something wrong, and I go, how are they doing this wrong? And then I actually realized, like, crap, that was actually my fault.
It's a breakdown
Because
in
I
the
didn't build the
training.
right system for him. Yeah, I
Yeah,
didn't. Yeah.
the system is broke. Exactly. And this is another interesting factoid too. I'm gonna kind of educate, remind, pull some lessons in as we go through for you, for the people listening. But in the Japanese culture, they have a tradition where if you go into, like, say, the hotel business, you could have a master's degree, 8 year from the largest university in hotel management, and you're going to start off for the first 6 months. You know what you're going to be doing? Cleaning toilets and changing sheets. Like,
Right.
you come in at that level for the very
Right.
reasons we're mentioning right now. You'll have a newfound respect and admiration for the people who kind of, that's the highest their career ever goes, but you know how vital they are and you know how much
Right.
work it takes to do that level. So this is a beautiful way to build an organization where you've done it. But the thing you can't get stuck at is the changing sheets and cleaning toilets level, which is putting tape on boxes level and
Right.
shop. And dare I say it, going out shopping, scanning barcodes.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
That's equivalent of being in a hotel management business and cleaning toilets and changing sheets. And I just now made that
Right.
mental connection in my head, but hopefully that resonates for people. If you're getting in your car, using your day and your time, your hours that are worth $500 or $1,000 an hour to go out and you may feel like you're doing great because, look, I'm making more money than I used to. No, you need to be building systems and building teams because tides change, things shift. You need to be agile and ready to jump on opportunities that come along and launch those other great streams that you're going to hear me talking about 6 and 8 months from now, because
Right.
Brett's going to have the time to launch those. If you're busy
Right.
scanning and shopping and packing boxes, you're not going to have the time to launch those businesses and those
Right.
income streams. You're going to be too busy cleaning toilets and changing sheets.
Right. Yeah, what I always say is you're stuck in the hamster wheel. So you think you're going somewhere and you're going really, really fast and doing a lot of things to get going, but you're actually not moving forward. And that was, look, I can say that was a really hard pill for me to swallow. Remember, I had never made any money online. And so for someone to come and say, "Hey Brett, you're doing, you need to keep progressing," my first thought was, "What do you mean? I'm making more money than I could have ever dreamed of,
I
right?"
had $400 6 months ago, and now I've got 10 grand in the bank. Leave me alone. I'm happy. Exactly.
Yeah, but then all of a sudden, my wife goes, "Hey, let's go on a 5-day trip," or, "Hey, let's go to Texas for a week." And I'm like, "No, I can't. I got to go to the shop at the sale." And I'm going, "Oh, crap. That's not good." That's kind of like the eye-opening experience of, wait a second, I just built myself instead of having a 60-hour-a-week job, I built myself an 80-hour-a-week job.
And it
So,
pays great, but you can't take a break. That's right. And that's the
right,
difference between
right,
eBay and Amazon too. With eBay, someone's got to be manning the shop constantly. With Amazon
right,
FBA, it's a little easier to automate, as most of the audience
right.
listening to this knows. But that's why we do both, and that's why we have people in charge of all of it. And it doesn't matter anymore where you go, or what part of the world you're in. We were talking before this call. You could live anywhere.
Right.
You or I could live anywhere and do this. This is truly a global opportunity. You don't have to be in the United States to do this. You can do this from anywhere. Growing a
Right.
team it's an international opportunity right now. This trend is global for people starting to shop online more and more and more. And the people who can find product and move it from where it's sitting on dust shelves collecting dust to sitting in front of people looking at their computer screens, that's a profitable, I mean, you could almost create a college degree off that and just have floods of people pour into it and still not tap the tip of the iceberg of the opportunity that's here. So we're cutting edge pioneers in this industry. We may feel like we've been doing it a while, but this is a massive opportunity.
Right, I totally
But
agree.
I
So,
don't want to get too far off track.
to go back to, people might be going, "Well, what does the processing have to do with the sourcing?" And as I moved people through they were kind of graduating on the processing side and taking on more responsibility. What I noticed was they had a better understanding of how the business worked, meaning they knew, "Hey, this product doesn't do well." Right, for whatever reason, fill in the blank, whether it's eBay, Amazon, Craigslist, selling on the sidewalk, they knew, they started to see value and not value, right? So instead of me sending them out and them paying them hourly and them buying at the same time, they were getting an education on the buying process. It's kind of like the Mr. Miyagi, like wax on, wax off thing. They didn't know they were getting educated on the buying process while they were packing boxes and everything like that, but they were. And so what I ended up realizing was when the person starts in processing, they have a better opportunity and holistic understanding of the business to become the best buyer on your team. And
Beautiful.
So when I did, the gradual progression is 100% processing, and maybe they make the cut, you know, as a full-time processor, right? And you'll notice some people, they never want to move from that. They're like, no, I love processing. Let me be a manager of 100 people who process, right? And so that's where you're the person on the other side going, okay, where does this person really fit in? But most of them that I've seen, I'd say 80 to 90% eventually go, hey, I think I can do more than process. So then we started at about 10 to 15% of their time was spent getting trained on buying. And the training was a lot more fluid and in sync when they came from the processing. So eventually all we do, and I'll use garage selling, and again, you can fill in garage selling for going to stores and scanning, for going to big buys and scanning, whatever. It doesn't really matter. For researching products online, that person can look at it, and as long as you have some type of system in place, so I'll give you my garage sale system. All we would simply do is test them out on a Saturday. Okay, we'd give them a route to go do. Really what we're testing is, do they get up on time? Do they fill out all their paperwork, and do they come back with products following the directions? So you have to do the directions on the front end. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to do that every time for that person for the rest of their time, but what you're doing is you're giving them the opportunity to succeed, and then if they come back and have it, you slowly move them more and more into a full-time role of a buyer. And the buyers, when you get educated buyers and successful buyers on your team, there is nothing more profitable than having a team of buyers who believe in your company and who get excited every day to land a great deal. That is where all the money comes from for my business. And that's the graduation process for them.
That's beautiful. I can totally see the system playing out. I see the progression going from, you know, and this is a completely new career opportunity. This didn't exist, you know, a few years ago. But now we've got, especially with the emergence of Amazon, we've got multiple outlets now to move inventory. And one thing I didn't want to let escape here, we've got a lot of people really excited about Amazon right now, and eBay's kind of like, you know, the second place stepchild of, you know, online shopping now. Well, whereas it used to be kind of reversed. These trends flow. These things flow. And it won't surprise me a bit if 5 years from now it's reversed again and eBay is just kicking Amazon's butt. You know, people, shoppers are there and the activity's there. You know, because with an influx of attention, advantages kind of start to taper. All the competition's on Amazon, so eBay's going to kind of sneak in the back door again. Same thing with Craigslist. You know, help me distinguish a little bit what you tell your shoppers when they go out. Like, you've got them trained to look for, and you told me you're just as excited about eBay right now as Amazon, because everyone's kind of overlooking the yard sale finds. You know, I don't go to yard sales. I don't like shopping. When I shop, it looks something like this. You know, I tell my wife, hey, I'm going to go to the store. We need this, this, and this. That's what I'm going to get. I'll go. I get it. I come home. That's all the shopping.
Right.
I don't want to browse around and look for deals and scan barcodes. But my mom, however, she could do it all day, literally all day, every day, and be the happiest person. Just loves it, finding deals, because she'll find something for herself, and then, you know, oh, I've been looking for one of these, and then she'll find all this profitable inventory as well, and she just feels fulfilled and energized by it. You know, but what do you tell those people who love going out doing this? They're out there. A lot of stay-home moms and, you know, second-income kind of families, people with part-time hours that they could give you to do this. You know, what instructions, what training do you give them? I'm hoping the Proven Amazon course is maybe part of that. But, you know, what other materials and resources are you giving them to help them find and identify profitable inventory?
Yeah, and that's a phenomenal question. So there's two answers to that. The first answer is to remember that most of these people have come up seeing some part of the business, right? So from that processing side. Second is, in a lot of those scenarios, those people in the processing side have been excited about something. So let's pretend, you know, my current business, we send out tons of teams going garage selling every weekend. We go to thrift stores. We go to do retail arbitrage, where you go in, you know, buy a product from a Target or wherever, and then sell it online for more, right? Well, most of these people who have come up through the processing side have fallen in love with one arm of that, or maybe a couple, right? So a lot of them have fallen in love with the shopping side, just like your mom. They get to go and shop. They find stuff for themselves. They get paid. They love calling themselves professional shoppers. But the key is you have to make sure that you've trained them correctly on how to buy. So here's the process that we run on a how to buy, okay? First, they go with the most experienced shopper that we have. So let's pretend that I have no team, right, and I am the experienced shopper. Here's the process that I do. The first one, for a week, they come and shadow me, maybe a total of 10 hours, right? And they're taking notes, and I'm, you know, basically giving them the whole rundown on how to go to a Target in the local stores, find products, and take it and, you know, take it back. Now, so if you're an international seller, you actually don't have to be there and shadow the person. Basically, the way that you got to think about it is, can you teach maybe a sixth grader to do this? Can you lay out the system so that a sixth grader could take it and run with it? But again, let's say you're the only person in your business. It's really going to start with you educating that person on how it all works, how the buying process works. So,
and let me just make a quick point here real quick, Brett, because in the Proven Amazon course, we have numerous resources for how to source, many of which don't require anyone to get in a car and go out and do anything. I mean, we've got people hiring teams to shop websites all over the internet and look for deals where it's selling for X on this website no one's ever heard of, and it's selling for 4x on Amazon or eBay.
Right.
And then all they do is they just send those deals into you, and you've got someone just flipping through buying those deals all day. It's not rocket science. And this is complicated, but you will need to train people on how to do it. The point is, it doesn't matter where you live. You can be doing this. And the Proven Amazon course is for international students. We have people, one of our biggest success stories lives on a beach in Jamaica, Barrington. You know?
Right.
I mean, there's no Amazon warehouse in Jamaica if you weren't aware. You know, there's no Amazon.ja for Jamaica. It's all going somewhere else, being bought somewhere else and going somewhere else. And he manages it, and he helps us with all kinds of international issues as well. He's got his own niche now built up because he's helped so many people go international. But yeah, I just wanted to reemphasize, this isn't all just about getting in the car and going out and shopping and hitting the retail stores. You can have teams all over the place doing this, you know, sourcing in many different fashions. So, but go ahead. Please continue.
No, yeah, and really, really, you just have to view each thing that you do. There's a process and a system behind it, right? You're unfortunately, you're not that awesome. Like, whatever you're doing, as long as you swallow that pill that it can be done by someone else, and that's hard for people sometimes, you know, to admit it. Like, hey, what I'm doing is not that complicated. It's really just a step-by-step system. Whether you're buying online, whether you're buying wholesale, whether you're garage selling, whether you're going into stores, each step can be broken down in a way that someone else can understand it. So, like I said, the first step that I do is just educate them, right? Give them the opportunity to understand the whys, the whats, everything like that. The next step is a 50-50 sharing of whatever way that you're sourcing product. So here's how I do it. 50% of the time, I kind of do like a refresher where the next week I'll take them in, or maybe if we're shopping online, whatever the case is, and I'm saying, hey, remember this, we touched on this, and it's kind of more of like a bullet point structure, the bigger concept. And then for the second half of the week, they run with it, and they have the cash. Now, it's a small budget because, remember, we're really testing their ability to take in information and implement it, right? And you're also testing, does your system work, right? It's very easy to blame the other person. Most of the time, unfortunately, it's on the communicator who is blowing it. And that was something really hard for me to understand. So it's a 50-50 arrangement with the buyer, meaning 50% of the time I'm the one who's helping oversee the process. I'm still educating them. And then 50% of the time, they're doing it on their own with me kind of like directly over their shoulder, stopping them if they're going to make a big, you know, bad, wrong move. The third step, typically, which is in the third and fourth week, is when they're going to do an entire week or two of work by themselves with a heavy assessment on the back end, but it's not as immediate. And at that point in time, so typically not more than a month, if you have your system down correctly, you can have a buyer who's well-educated, understands the system, and is going to make you profitable in the coming months based off of your ability to train them in that first month. And that is, I mean, I wish it was more complicated and cool than that, but it's really not. And that is the system that we run every time we bring someone in. And just so everyone knows, just on large liquidation buys alone, on any given day, we have 4 to 6 people looking over those buys just on emails coming over from suppliers. So just to give you an idea, we are 80-90% buying, 10% processing, meaning like everybody in our office can process when they need to, but we love buying. We love sourcing. It is the backbone of our business. So we put a big emphasis on it.
Well, that's beautiful. The simplicity of it is I love how you've been through it far enough and deep enough now that you've kind of got a process that I think just about anyone who's listening to this can imagine themselves going through these steps. But what have you run into, if anything, that's been a challenge? Maybe something that those who haven't gone through this path have hit a stumbling block or roadblock. I mean, you know, getting employees, did you have to get an accountant? Have you needed a lawyer? I mean, has there been any kind of paperwork you didn't anticipate or rules or laws or, you know, anything like that, that you can just kind of give people a heads up beforehand? You know, what professionals have you relied on, if any, to help you get all this established?
Yeah, I could point out some of the bigger headaches that come through in the process. I think anytime, whether you're using like a freelance person to 1099 them, just so everyone knows, our eBay deal is actually a consignment deal. And so, you know, we really have a beautiful arrangement there. We don't have to worry about a lot of stuff. The person just takes a consignment cut from our stuff. But in any situation where you're building out, one of the biggest frustrations, I think, is you need to remember that whatever person you're communicating with, they don't understand the entire business yet, right? So a lot of frustration and anger and, you know, to the point of giving up can occur in the process of building out your team, because I know I felt like that. As long as you take the personal responsibility to understand, hey, that just means I have to communicate this in a different way, or I have to communicate this to the next person so that they aren't confused or, you know, left in the dark on this. That's actually the hardest part of this process is fine-tuning your training process, right? It's filling in, being organic and filling in the gap every time a new situation comes up and going, okay, for the next person that I train, here's the 10 steps instead of the 4 that I had originally. So you have to have the ability to take the ownership as a true CEO and say, hey, this is on me, not on them. To build out the right system.
I have a feeling we're going to have some people who are fairly interested in having someone help them through, you know, you've mentioned you've got steps for different processes and things, you know, and we obviously can't share this in an audio, although I would say that most people listening to this are perfectly capable of going through the Proven Amazon course, doing it themselves, and then having other people help them do it and growing a team. But you've covered some of this ground, so we might end up offering something else. Return to the provensourcing.com page. We may have other offers, or if you purchase this report, maybe there'll be something near where you downloaded it, where we kind of talk about some of these other resources and things that we may make available. At this point, they're not, because it's literally just, this is the way Brett's doing his business. But I approached him with the idea of, hey, let's share this with others. A lot of other people could benefit from this. So organically, the questions that pop up and the things that people want to hear more about, we may create additional resources and maybe even some handholding and coaching. Since you keep your time fairly freed up, we could possibly have people who are willing to pay you well, and you'd help take them through that process. So we'll, you know, just keep that door open as a possibility, because I think a lot of people could take advantage of that. Because you know, we're making it sound simple, but I know I'm kind of keeping in mind my audience, and my team is fairly small. I haven't taken the time to make it huge yet. But here's a couple things we're doing that you're not. How about I throw that in the mix and just see how these resonate with you? One of the things we're doing, and I don't know if you end up with extra inventory, but there's a lot of times where you go out and, you know, it'll be an 80-20 kind of day. Like, wow, yep, we got some great stuff here, but what are we going to do with this pile of stuff that's just
right,
yuck? Well, you know what we found? A lot of that stuff moves very, very well at a flea market. And
Yep.
I haven't been to a flea market myself. My mom loves them. We've actually bought a booth at one of these consignment flea markets
Oh,
where,
I love it.
the person runs the whole place, and there's a cash register up front, one cash register, and then everybody has their booth space. We'll throw extra shoes in there or extra stuff that we got, and they're like, I don't want to sell it. Don't want to say it's too big, it's bulky. It's, you get your hands on stuff that you just don't know what to do with. You put it in there, mark it down. Next thing that booth is making a lot of money for us, moving inventory. And we also rented a house near us. I encourage you, as soon as you possibly can, don't keep it in your basement or in your own garage. You don't want people
Right,
showing up
right.
annoying your family at 6 in the morning if they got to put in some extra hours on a Sunday or whatever, showing up, checking email. We rented a little house near our neighborhood, got a great deal, talked to the guy way down because we basically told him, hey, look, we're not going to use it on evenings or weekends. Give us a good deal. We're going to keep it clean, professional, non-smoking. We're going to take care of your place. The toilets only get flushed a couple times a day instead of 15 times a day.
Right.
It's going to be, give us a deal here. And he did. And it's worked out really, really well. So that's how we manage our team. So just a couple little tips are kind of like in between where you are and where my team is right now. But do you guys do the flea market thing? Have you had some good experience there?
Oh, the funny thing is when you brought it up, I mean it's gonna sound bad, but I hope people take it as a positive. We run so much stuff that sometimes it's hard, like in a, hey Brett, what's everything that you do real fast? And for me to go like boom 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 boom, name them all off. One big push that we're making right now, with the women's clothing and with our excess inventory, some of our really really cool buys. It's exactly what we're doing. We're signing up at big week around here. They call them fairs, so like big fairs. And so, and especially in these summer months right now, it's a great way to move inventory that is not typical. But the whole point, and Jim, what you're pointing out too is, I wish there was like a hard and fast way. If you do this and follow X X X X X, right? It's like the blanket way to run a team. But you just pointed out, each person's situation is going to have a slight adaptation to the foundation of building out systems and replacing yourself. So I love the concept that you rent out a house and run your business out of there, right? It doesn't fit my model because if I had rented out a house in Orange County, I'd be like way upside down because it's super expensive. But that doesn't negate the model itself. So everyone listening, I want you to know it's complicated, but it's not. It's very, very doable. And as long as you believe in the foundational concept of, hey, I'm always going to be working to replace myself, right? And building something bigger than myself, you're gonna eventually build something amazing.
And we've got a business model, again, that is the foundation of all this. It's a profitable business model. That's been proven time and time and time
Right.
again. I'm
Right.
fairly convinced at this point that there's no other model. Now, I teach three different business models, and I've alluded to that. Of the three, the one that people who are kind of the greenest and newest and not real sure about themselves yet, the one they should be getting into is the one we're talking about right now, which is proven Amazon
Right.
course, selling physical product. Because it's the easiest to build a team. It's the easiest to start having success with very quickly. You can see the testimonials. You can see the massive community. I know you're going to be joining us at an event here in a couple months, and not to date this call because it's going to be relevant for a long time after that event's come and gone. But we sold that thing out in a day. Just the number of people who just can't wait, hundreds of people. I think we're going to have 500 there. We sold out the tickets in a day for that thing. That's how many
Right.
people are excited. And 75% of the people who are going to be there, we've surveyed them. They're making money with the stuff we're talking about right now. And
Right.
most of those people weren't a year or two ago. It's coming on strong. It's a huge opportunity. There's no end in sight for this if you're willing to go multiple routes for moving your inventory.
Right.
eBay, Amazon, Craigslist, even if it comes down to hiring someone who loves flea markets. Find someone who runs a flea market on weekend and say, hey, swing by, we'll do a consignment deal, which I want to talk
Heck
about
yeah.
your eBay consignment arrangement again. But any parts of it you just don't see yourself doing, let someone else do. And let me just kick a few butts here. People get on the internet looking for opportunities, and I've seen this for over a decade now. What they want is a four-step system where they can click buttons and make money. I'll give you a hint and save you $30,000 right now. That system does not exist. Now, if you listen to any number of other people out there, they'll convince you that it does, and they'll show you success stories and show you these big checks.
Right.
The way you can make money, and four steps and like that kind of, is by selling systems that don't work to people who are going to figure out eventually that you're actually a scammer and they're going to call you a scammer. So you can have about a year and a half run doing that and make some decent money convincing people that you know the secret holy grail to making money on the internet. But eventually you're going to have a bad reputation and there's going to be just as many people out there saying, ah, don't listen to that guy, as there are people out there going, hey, I wonder what he's all about. Look at that fancy sales letter. He's got a car, a nice car, and look at that vacation he took with his family. Well, he made that money selling a course that's garbage, guys, just to let you in. Every business opportunity on the internet that works requires work. And I've spent 12 years finding three. I've been exposed to hundreds. There are three. If I find a fourth, I'll let you know, but I haven't yet. And that's why I pound and pound and pound. It's going to take some work, but of the three, selling physical product on the internet is a fantastic model because what it does is it scares off most of the people, like many listening right now. They're like, oh, but I have to touch box tape. I don't want to do that. I have to actually ship stuff. All I want to do, Jim, is sit home and click buttons. Jim and Brett, you don't understand. I just want to click some buttons from about 11 at night to midnight, click some buttons, and then make money. That business opportunity does not exist. I'm sorry to tell you, it doesn't. You can chase it for a few years and then come back to what does work if you'd like, or you can save yourself some money. This one does work. And the beauty of it is, as Brett told us towards the beginning of this call, you don't have to be the one touching the product. I don't touch the product in my business ever, literally ever. If someone held a gun to my head right now and said, put these products up for sale on Amazon, I would be a little lost because you know what? I've never done it. But I've put my team through the training that's in the Proven Amazon course that was completed by other experts like Brett, who I brought into the picture. Because my job is partnering with people who are smarter than me at this stuff and bringing them together and creating legitimate opportunities for the rest of everyone. I'm a filter. I'm a professional filter. I don't actually run the businesses for my multiple income streams, but I filter and make sure that I know that this stuff works. So that's my little soapbox of putting a little bit more credibility behind this whole conversation we've had. But what else do you have to share with us if, you know, but beyond just, you know, pat on the back encouragement type of stuff, but are there any other logistical things that someone should be considering before they take on this business? Any other little lessons or tidbits if you were trying to get someone?
Here's more of a nitty-gritty thing because I actually here's a question that I get a lot, and you had touched on it, and we answered it a little bit. But how do you compensate all these people, right? So what's that model look like? Any processing tape, anything like that, is a straight hourly. One of the worst bits of advice that I've seen out there, and again, this is me speaking from my business experience, so please don't hear it as a like blanket statement. But I know this would bankrupt my business. We pay a flat hourly for processing. Period. End of story. Because that is such a volatile position. Meaning, one day they could be processing 3,000 units. The next day it could be 300. So we do not pay on a per unit basis on processing. Just to let everyone know. So that's a nitty-gritty thing. Processing, it's a flat base rate with an opportunity to progress into something else. Next, buying. So if you just kind of in an easy way put processing and buying as kind of the two positions that are filled. On the buying side, we typically, well, there should be three: processing, buying, and managing. Okay. The buying side, we typically have a unique structure, and here's a unique structure. A base pay, and the reason we started with a base pay is I experimented a lot with straight commission, and that did not get the buy-in that I wanted. There were only two things that got the buy-in that I wanted. A straight partnership where that person has, you know, a part of that business, meaning like they have maybe a small part of the business and then a high upside on the commission. That has a great result. So everyone who's thinking, I don't have any money to build a team, that's the first thing that I did. I involved my in-laws who basically ran the business while I was at my full-time job and built it to a way that I would have never been able to while I was at my full-time job. So a partnership with a commission. And then the other side is a base pay with a commission with our buying side. And so the base pay is typically, and as of this call, it's $10 an hour with a commission structure that is typical. Our typical number that we try to hit is at 10% of the total profit, from whatever entity is selling it. And we have that's where our Google Docs come in really handy because I put the personal responsibility on them. Remember, all I'm doing is I'm confirming a spreadsheet if that. Most of the time, I get to do my favorite thing in the world, which is build new revenue streams. I absolutely love that. If you said, Brett, what gets you excited when you wake up in the morning? It's waking up and saying, how am I going to grow this revenue stream or how am I going to build a new one? That's what I love to do. And so that's what I do every day. But it's only because I put in the time to build the other system. So on a pay side, if they, let's say they went and did a big buy, right? And there was X amount of profit to it. They have a commission structure that they know that they're tracking the sell through. If they fail to do that, they know that their bonus is gone now because it's on them to track it. So that's the structure we have with the buyers. And then with the managers, we have typically those are people like the eBay side who are doing it on consignment and managing all these different things because they're heavily motivated to have everything working together because that's where all their upside is on making sure all the product comes in and everything like that. So that's some nitty gritty ways that we compensate people based off of our experience. But it's not like you must do it that way. That's where we've seen the most success on our build out.
Sure. And while we're talking nitty gritty, we went past something that caught my ear here a few minutes ago. eBay, you said it's all consignment. Does that mean if I go out, I work for you and I go out garage selling and I find a $50 item and we sell it on eBay for $800, you know, great deal, we did good, I'm going to get a piece of that versus
yep.
just having getting paid hourly. So
No. Sorry. The consignment side is the person over, it's not my eBay account. It's his eBay account. And so his eBay account, basically we're the supplier to his eBay account and he's super excited about it. And so basically he oversees, because his account, because like I said, I'm not good at eBay. I had never really built it out. And anyone jumping into eBay right now, if you're brand new, you'll see eBay put, some parameters on your sell through. Well, just to let you know, our buying side can do just for eBay in a given month can bring easily $100,000 to $200,000 in product, you know, to the table. So we're a heavy hitter when it comes to selling on eBay and being able to source for it. So when I approached him and said, and this is a guy who came up through our processing, I want everyone to know that he started with just taping boxes, right? But he understood our business. So when I said, hey, you have a seasoned eBay account that would do great with this. Can we just do like a consignment model with you? And he's like, yeah, that's awesome. So it's that simple. On Mondays, we drop off all of our stuff. That's it.
Wow. Okay. So you've got someone else who had an active eBay account and you're using their account and they're paying you a cut.
Right. Yep.
Versus the other way.
Gotcha. It's a simple, it's a very, very, simple consignment model. But the person knows that I have their best interest in, because the person would probably go, well, aren't you scared? I'm going, this person, first off, has been with us for a while now. Second, they're more than excited because they're going to make more money than they ever have, right? And now they're managing something which he's even more excited about. So that's what I'm saying. It's building those win-win-win situations out that we go, you know, for me, I don't have to worry about, oh, man, now I got to build up my eBay account. Okay, how do you do global shipping? Oh, no, wait, should I do this? You know, I'm going, no, this guy's already the expert. All I'm doing is just bringing the product. That's
if mine were to grow out and all of a sudden, let's say I had 8 people hitting yard sales and bringing back stuff that was better on eBay than Amazon, and maybe we can hit how do you decide what goes where. You give your perspective, I'll give mine as maybe a final point on the call. But if it was me, I've got a pretty active eBay account. I've had it for a long time. I could handle that volume, the numbers that you just talked about, if a team did it. I'd rather keep it in-house personally. So we're not saying there's one right way to do this here. We're just saying that you looked at the advantages and the unique opportunities you had in front of you and the creativity of your team. They bring you ideas. It's profitable. Let's run with it. Reward those good creative ideas whenever you can. But for me, it'd be my account. So if I was bringing in people, we'd be moving it all through my eBay account. And then what I would do is – you know, I was curious that you broke it. I thought I heard you say you use an item by item breakdown to pay people. I wouldn't have done that. I would have said overall, if eBay does, you know, X profit,
Yes.
you'll
No,
get,
that's correct. That
we'll
is what
all
we do.
share. Yeah, okay, so there you
Yes,
go. So
that
we
is what
all
we
kind
do.
of
On the
share in the
spreadsheet, we
benefit.
do have it broken down item by item, just for accountability reasons.
Right.
But as it's an overall, like big bulk number, that starts to be split up between everything.
There you go. And if you're tracking it, it's easy. You know, as who was it, Duran, I think, or Deming, one of the guys, the quality gurus of the 80s said, you know, you can't improve it till you track it. You got to track it. Accurate
Right.
numbers are everything in business. So try, if when in doubt, yes, track that number. You never know when you're going to need it. So keeping very accurate records of what we paid, what date, you know, who purchased it, what did it sell for on eBay, what was the shipping charge, what were the PayPal fee, you know, you capture all that. Then you can run great reports. Some people love those kind of numbers. The more numbers you're
Right.
capturing, the better. You can always go back and use it to help you make good decisions. Make sure you're
Right.
rewarding people who are really bringing the value. But let me ask
Right.
you this. We'll make this the last question. We'll wrap up and encourage people, you know, to jump onto the provensourcing.com. Go back to the thank you page where you purchased this, or if you haven't bought it yet and you're just listening to this, go ahead and make the purchase. It's not expensive. Provensourcing.com. You'll get this interview. You get all the other resources we talked about. You'll get a discount on the Proven Amazon course that'll more than cover the expense. But the last question I want to hit is, how do you know if something's going to go on eBay or Amazon? And I'd like to hear your answer first when it comes back to the office. How do you quickly sort through what's the process?
We do have a system in place, and here's the system. If it's brand new, retail ready, and we are approved to sell it on Amazon, meaning like it's so beautiful it could be put on the shelf at Target, and no one would ever think that it came from someone's front yard or a liquidation service or wherever, then it goes on to Amazon. If it has a defect or maybe is a unique item or can't be considered like. What's something we sold just recently? Oh, great example would be Nerf gun. Okay, we on garage selling we come across Nerf guns all the time, right? But they're not Amazon eligible. We don't have the box. An Amazon customer would be really, really upset if they got, you know, these nice clean guns, but they weren't in a nice brand new box. So brand new, retail ready, Amazon, everything else. This is why I love eBay, because this is the opportunity that's out there with the everything else, like that doesn't fall under retail ready. I'm telling you, Jim, if you said, Brett, what are you most excited for on your business? It's the eBay side. I mean, it is like the ocean of products that are out there that have a slight blemish or that someone had no value for, you know, that we're buying for a dollar and it sells for $50, $60. That's what we send over to eBay. And it is beautiful. I mean, when I see those sales coming in on the eBay side, and the most beautiful thing is literally, my favorite job is I come in and I go, hey Doug, how are sales today? He goes, oh, awesome, man. Here's the sales. Here's the report. And I go, that's awesome. I didn't do one description. I wouldn't even know how to do a good description on Nerf guns. And then I say, hey, here's Destiny. Can you train her? She's gonna help you with the listing. Train her on how to list and some stuff she can go buy at thrift stores. He goes, you got it. And then boom, we have our new buyer. I don't train now. I just put them in the right direction for the people who can do it.
That's beautiful. Yeah, and the way that you split your inventory was perfectly stated. That you only want the clean. You want it if it's obvious. For the only other thing I'd put on there is sometimes stuff's going to sell for way better on eBay on occasion.
Right.
You might move it over, but even wasting the time to do that point by point research. Here's a tip on researching. People are listening to this. Some people don't know. You probably do. At least your team's probably figured it out by now. I'm sure that you can search completed listings on eBay. You
Yep.
can't get pricing data on Amazon as easily, but on
Right.
eBay, you can easily search and say, what's this product been selling for? Completed listings. How many completed listings have there been for this item? So you can very intelligently make decisions, especially if you have a smartphone on you. Paying no money to anyone, you can see
Right.
what's happened the last several weeks or couple months on eBay for this product. Is it selling? Just do an advanced search completed listings and see what, you know, what it's going for. Just because it's someone's currently asking $100 for an item doesn't mean it's going to sell for that. So, you know, you can use
Right.
some caution when you're actually securing eBay inventory out at a yard sale or whatever. But well,
Right.
this has been a great call. I'm sure we're going to have a few people that have a few other questions, things that we didn't think of. We'll have some discussions in our Facebook group and such, and we'll have links to all that. Again, theprovensourcing.com. If you're listening to this for free and you haven't paid for it yet, go to provensourcing.com, pay for it. That'll get you all these resources where you can get more information and continue this conversation and get more details. And if there's more offers that we make, such as coaching or other things that we put on the back end. Well, let's kind of see how the audience responds to this, but I think people are really going to eat it up, and I know we've given them incredible value. Thanks so much for your time. I mean, you've gone from a guy with $400 in the bank to a guy running a several hundred thousand dollars per month business on eBay and Amazon with a team of 20 people, and waking up loving what you do every day. And I can't wait to meet you in person. We've never met. We're going to meet for the first time here in a couple months, but I'm sure that, you know, many new projects coming down the road as your creativity continues to grow things out there. And it's just a pleasure to work with you. I mean, you're a true professional, and you're a great leader, and it's my honor to work with you.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. The one thing I want to end on is that don't get held up by your constraints. Don't get held up by, like what we just said, my eBay account could not hold the velocity of stuff that I can bring in, right? But I found a solution for it through my team. And those constraints are always going to be there, but it's up to you to make the mental decision to push through it and find the solution and not just be bummed out. And Jim, that's why I love your stuff. It gives the foundation. If you know it works, see it through, right? And so put in that time. Don't try to be something overnight. You know, it's not going to happen in a flash. Put in the hard work, and something amazing will come from it.
Oh, and that's where being a part of a community can really help too. You know, we've got some incredible Facebook communities, and links to all of that again on the provensourcing.com thank you page. After you purchase this audio and the other resources, you'll see links to groups, and you can get in and just literally, you can be 3 a.m. and like, wow, guys, I'm trying to think through this issue. I don't know what to do about X. And you'll have 6 or 7 people jump in. I mean, it's a community. We've got a lot of people now paying attention to these kind of things and building these kind of businesses. And your problem that's keeping you awake at night is a problem someone else solved in their sleep 6 months ago. You know,
sure.
They're sleeping like a baby now because they solved it. You know, so just drop it out there. And that's the beauty of the team. It's not what Brett knows or what I know. It's this community of people that are very willing to help each other out. You know, Brett didn't have to get on and share this stuff today, but he is. And yeah, we're going to pay him a little money for it, but we're not off in our own little corners kind of keeping our secrets hidden. We're sharing it openly.
Right.
The opportunity is so huge. We're talking about 6% of a hundreds of billions of dollar pie, you know, and that 6% will soon be 15, 18, 20, 40%. We're going to need thousands more people that understand these concepts as this opportunity grows. I mean, we're light years ahead of where the colleges are. They don't even understand this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So we're so cutting edge with this, and there's plenty of room for you in this whole physical product game on eBay and Amazon. Come on in and join us. But thanks again, Brett. I think I'll cut it off here, and this has been just tremendous content for those who took the time to listen to it. Thanks again for your time, buddy, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
All right. No problem, man. Take care.
Thanks, Brett. God bless.